Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, and our subject of discussion is the Lord's Supper. And since the Lord's Supper is to be taken in the worship assembly of the local congregation, we're also going to be talking about the worship assembly. So let's get started in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Notice the first word is the word now. And we've already seen, and we will see even further in this book, that many times when Paul uses the word now, he's introducing a new topic. He's transitioning into a new subject or a subpart of a certain topic that he's looked at. So he's been talking about matters of culture, and he basically closed that out in chapter 11, verse 16. And now, beginning in chapter 11, verse 17, Paul is going to discuss the Lord's Supper in the worship assembly of the congregation. Notice in verse 17 that Paul said, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse." Now, these Corinthians should have been assembling. They ought to have been coming together and being made better by their assembling together to worship God. But instead of being made better by going to these church services, they were made worse. And that was not the fault of God. It was not the fault of how God set the church up or how God arranged and authorized corporate worship. The fault was in the people. It was in the church at Corinth. Paul said that they came together, but it was not for the better. It was for the worse. There are many times in this book where Paul rebukes these Corinthian Christians, but this is a severe rebuke because this ought to have been embarrassing to these people. They went to church services, but instead of being made better, instead of being edified by those church services, they were worse off than they were to start with. What a sad commentary on the church at Corinth, and how shameful that was to say that about these people. But I want you to notice in verse 17 the expression, come together. Paul said, you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Notice how Paul uses that expression several times in this chapter. In verse 18, he says, for first of all, when you come together in the church. The word church there is not the church building. He's not talking about the house or the church house that Christians assemble in. The word church in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, refers to the worship assembly of the church, the corporate worship assembly. And he says that they came together in that assembly or in that congregational church assembly for worship. Now notice in verse 20 that he says, when you come together, therefore, into one place. So he makes it even more specific in verse 20 because he says not only that you come together, but he says that you come together into one place. That's why we call it the worship assembly. Then, as you continue through the chapter, you find later in verse 33 that Paul says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And in verse 34, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. Now, the reason that I bring that up is simple. There are many people who think that the Bible does not talk about going to church worship or to the worship assembly. And yet we find in this one chapter that Paul mentions going to and assembling together in the church worship assembly five times, just in this one section that we're looking at. So does the Bible talk about going to church, and by the word church, I mean the worship assembly of the local congregation? Does the Bible talk about this? Yes. And this is just one place where the Bible mentions it. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, the Bible talks about the assembling of ourselves together. And what does it say? Hebrews 10, 25 says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In Acts 20, verse 7, the Bible talks about the early Christians coming together to take the Lord's Supper. In Acts 20, verse 7, the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." So it's obvious that it's a worship service. And the Bible specifically mentions the preaching that Paul did and the fact that they broke bread, and that's an expression for partaking of the Lord's Supper. That was the reason why that they assembled on the first day of the week. So did these early Christians assemble on Sunday? Yes. Did they assemble as a congregation? Yes. Did they have the Lord's Supper and the singing and the praying and the contribution and the praying? Yes, they did. That's why the Bible refers to this as the coming together of the church or the coming together in the church, the worship assembly. So let's look at what Paul says as he rebukes these Corinthian Christians here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 and 18 and 19. Paul said in verse 17 that really when you come together, you're not made better by being there, you're worse off. And in verse 18, he explains, "For first of all," he says, "when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." Now, you remember, as Paul opens this book in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, he talked about the fact that they needed to be united. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, "It has been declared unto me of you," that is about you, my brethren, "by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." So Paul not only told them what he had heard about them, he told them the source. And he says, "I'm hearing that there are divisions in the church there." And Paul also said, "And I partly believe it." So there may have been part of what Paul was hearing that he had questions about. But as far as the basic fact was concerned, Paul was convinced, and he was rightly convinced, that the Corinthian church had problems and that the Corinthian brethren were divided against themselves and among themselves. So Paul goes on and says in verse 19, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." This is an interesting verse. Paul talks about heresies, and the word heresy means some kind of opinion that causes division. It is a belief or a teaching that is not grounded in the Scripture, but the person or the people who hold to this belief are so adamant that this belief should be believed by other people that they cause problems, they cause divisions. And so the Bible refers to this as a heresy, and the Bible refers to a person who pushes an opinion like that to the dividing of the church as a heretic. Of course, Paul cannot mean in verse 19 that heresies are good or that division is something that God wants. He can't mean that when he says there must be also heresies among you. But what he means is that when people believe the wrong thing, and then other Christians stand against that heresy, then that division actually declares who is loyal to God and to the truth and who is not. So one good result is that the faithful tend to stand out in a situation like that. Truth shines the brightest when it's placed beside error. And so division eventually declares and shows what kind of people are involved. So although division is not a good thing, at least one thing that is shown by division is who is on the Lord's side and who is not. And that evidently is what Paul means in verse 19. Next, in verse 20, Paul begins to talk about the Lord's Supper. Remember that the book of 1 Corinthians is written to correct certain problems in the church at Corinth. There was trouble in that congregation. And so from chapter to chapter, you see Paul addressing the different problems in the church at Corinth. Now he comes to a different problem, and it regarded their observance of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week in the worship assembly. Now, they were observing the Lord's Supper. They had not stopped doing that. They were observing the Lord's Supper in the worship assembly on the first day of the week, just like they were supposed to. But it was the way that they were doing it that was wrong. Let's begin reading in verse 20. Paul said, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, in this worship assembly, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." It's very easy to misunderstand what Paul is saying here. If we simply look at those words and don't read what follows, we might get the idea that Paul is saying that you're not supposed to have the Lord's Supper when you come to church. But he's not saying that at all. He's talking to the Corinthians about what they were doing that was wrong. And he says, when you Corinthians, come together into one place, which you should be doing. However, he says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. What do you mean by that, Paul? Well, he explains in verse 21, for this reason, in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. Paul said, instead of coming together to eat the Lord's Supper, where you all share in the same meal, in the same way, for the same purpose, you had people in the church at Corinth who were bringing their own personal meal into the church worship assembly when they should have been observing the Lord's Supper, which is the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. There were Christians at the church at Corinth who were actually bringing other food. They were bringing their own meal. That's why he says in verse 21 that everyone takes before other his own supper. They should have been partaking of the Lord's Supper, verse 20, but they were actually eating their own supper in verse 21, and that is wrong. They had no right to do that. There's something about verse 20 that we need to notice here before we move on. And that is the fact that when Paul says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. That is a rebuke of these people. That is what they were doing, but it was wrong. And if what they were doing was wrong, then that means that the right thing, what they should have been doing, was to eat the Lord's Supper, not their own supper, but the Lord's Supper when they came together in the worship assembly. By telling these people in verse 20 what they failed to do, he shows them and us what we ought to be doing. And that is that when we come together in the worship assembly, we should have the Lord's Supper. And that's why the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 7, that the very reason that the early Christians came together was to have the Lord's Supper. And so when you put all these verses together, especially Acts 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, the Bible shows that we should have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We should observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week because the Bible says that's the very purpose of coming together in the church worship assembly to begin with. Now, in the next lesson and in the lessons that follow, we're going to look at some other questions about the Lord's Supper beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21.